Queridos hermanos y hermanas, dear friends, whenever I hear this gospel, I'm immediately inclined to offer a word of defense on behalf of the 9 cured lepers who dutifully obeyed and marched off to the temple. They went to Jerusalem to have their cure authenticated, formally approved, officially recognized. And it's always seemed to me that they were only doing what they were told to do. I mean, the law says that's what they're supposed to say. It's what Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest. And that's what they did. Also cured was a Samaritan. But he couldn't go to Jerusalem precisely because he was a Samaritan. And that was not his temple. The Samaritan temple was in Samaria. And so he, in a sense, was overcome by gratitude. He came back to recognize the cure received from the faithful Jew, Jesus. The rest were obedient, but they were not ungrateful. And I always feel the need to defend them in some way every time I come up to this. So that's that. The other thing, second thought that always comes to mind in this gospel and then in so many other similar passages is a recognition of the terrible scourge of leprosy. Once it was the terror of the ancient and medieval world. It was a disease that causes a person's limbs to gradually become deformed and to shrink and to disappear. It was an awful thing. And it was partially due to lack of hygiene, physical hygiene. They just didn't have what we take for granted. And it's also a very mysterious nature that led people to set lepers apart. A visit today to the Hawaiian island of Molokai, made famous by St. Damien, the leper, enables us to see how even at the beginning of the 19th century, those folks who encountered the disease were taken by ship to the Isle of Molokai, to the bay down below the cliff, and simply pushed off the ship into the water, and they had to make their own way to the land and live with other lepers. It was a very terrible existence. About 20 years ago, I had the chance to visit the former leper colony at Molokai, and to stand in the chapel where St. Damien, in the middle of a homily, suddenly said, "We lepers," and startled the community, because in that dramatic fashion he acknowledged that he was no longer simply someone who cared for them, but he was a member of the community. His whole world had changed, and he needed to say so. So those two things come to mind when I am confronted by this wonderful Lucan gospel story of the 10 lepers and the one of whom was Samaritan. We gather here this morning at St. John's Cathedral. The chance that any of us has any experience with leprosy is minimal, if not non-existent. But the gospel calls us to gratitude, to profound gratitude. And we need to recognize, as we gather for the Eucharist, which is Thanksgiving, we need to recognize that we have to be grateful for everything. And we can hardly begin to imagine all the things that you and I need to be grateful for. To be grateful for the Eucharist, for example. This very prayer that brings us together, whether we're here physically present or joining us by radio, this Eucharist that pulls us together and asks that we simply say thank you. Thank you for life, for the litany that we go through so often, for life and for family and for parents and for friends, but also thank you for the gift of faith, the very gift of faith, the grace to be faithful and generous all the way through our lives, to accept a world we can't always see, to which we are committed, to be grateful for faith. I've got a whole litany of things that came to mind in the course of the past week as I came back again and again and again to these readings. Faithful for the things we take for granted. These days we receive television reports of the storms down in the southeast, terrible pictures. And every once in a while after a hurricane, they show pictures of people returning to destroyed homes and trailer camps, picking through the rubble, trying to find some precious event or article, a picture, something from family that they just don't want to lose. Or maybe it's an insurance policy or whatever, but you know, we don't get those things here in this part of the world. So to see the news and to experience some of the sorrow, but also be grateful for even those things we take for granted weather-wise. It's always somebody else, and we don't think about that very much. About 50 years ago, I had a relative who came from Slovakia. It was my great uncle, my grandfather's brother, who was brought over. So 50 years ago, they were in the middle of a communist regime, and he was a faithful Catholic, but at the same time, he was put in charge of some kind of transportation department near Bratislava. He came over for several weeks, and on one occasion, I remember he gave me a long lecture over the fact that I had a car and a good priest shouldn't have a car, should have a bicycle. Well, he didn't quite understand all the implications here, but I remember the lecture very clearly. But I also remember that they took him shopping one day to a supermarket, and he stood inside the main door and he cried. He simply cried. He could not imagine having so much available and so many choices. I mean, just the other day I was making supper and I decided, oh, I forgot one thing. I need a little can of cream of mushroom soup. And I went, and of course it was there. It was there. And not only the mushroom soup, but three different prices. So I could take it. I had my choice. No, it's the things we need to be grateful for. The people who work for us socially, not just personally, but socially. To be grateful for those who pick up the garbage. We take it for granted. People who work in the electric system will go down the manholes down below in a ladder, and who knows what they do there. Once in a while I stop and I ask, what are you doing down there? And they tell me. But then I make a point of saying thank you for what they do that I hardly understand. All those folks that are part of the system in which we live, all kinds of outsiders, in all kinds of weather, they do that. Once in a while I moved in the supermarket. I look at the display of vegetables and fruits, and they're all so nicely arranged, and I see someone putting back together the mess that shoppers make, and I'm impelled to say thank you for making, you know, that experience that we grumble about because we have to do it on weekends so often. We go and do it and get the list and run in. We know where things are, but somebody makes it easy for us to do that. To say thank you. Yesterday, I had the privilege of representing the entire archdiocese at the installation of the new Evangelical Lutheran Church of America bishop. To be able at this moment in history to experience some kind of ecclesial unity, as we say, partial, not complete, but certainly partial, with whom we celebrate and pray, something that now we come close to 500 years after the 95 Theses. And, you know, this is a very different world by God's grace and goodness. To say thank you for that, to say thanks and praise. They're just so, the political system, it's a mess this year. Everybody knows that. But we have a system that we just kind of take for granted, against which we measure everything else, to say thank you for that, that so many parts of the world don't have and we take for granted. And so, you know, we ought to make a list of all the things we take for granted and be grateful. But there's one more. And that is to be grateful for the one thing in our life we would change if we could. And we can't. Because we are disciples of Jesus, who said, unless you pick up your cross and carry it, you can't be my disciple. And so to add to the list the one thing we would change, it's health maybe, or it's family relationships, or it's a heartache, or a memory, or a mistake, or whatever, the one thing we would change if we could, and we can't. And in this whole sense of gratitude, to say to God and maybe the people who caused it for us, thank you. Because somehow it's an opportunity for us to grow in God's grace, to become more like Christ. And, you know, and then there's this Samaritan who came back to say thank you. A person we simply cannot afford to forget. And that's good news.